from Singapore, from Amman, Jordan, and from Santa Ana, California, comes today's news. Good evening, everybody. This is Lowell Thomas for CBS News. At Santa Ana, California, a near disastrous ending to the Malcolm Forbes ambitious balloon adventure, the Forbes balloon breaking loose from its moorings during preparations for an attempted launch, instead of soaring aloft, dragging along the ground, the gondola bearing Forbes and his young associate, Tom Heinsheimer. Well, they both were in trouble, but they could have been badly injured, except the launch director, J. Pierre Ponero, raced forward, unhooked the pressurized sphere. Little but otherwise unhurt, Malcolm Forbes later said, "Pierre saved our lives." And he added that they're going to try again in about a month. The latest on the amnesty front from Presidential Clemency Board Chairman Charles Goodell, who announced today the president had just acted on 47 additional applications for clemency, granting 12 unconditional pardons and 35 pardons conditioned on alternate service. Goodell adding that this marks the first granting of clemency to military personnel, including 3 outright pardons without alternate service. The president's chief economic advisor was a witness today before the House and Senate Joint Economic Committee, Alan Greenspan, saying that the current recession may prove worse than originally expected, with unemployment perhaps reaching 8% before the end of the year, adding that even a tax cut of $10 to $15 billion would do little to hasten recovery. He did stress that the sudden downturn in the nation's economy is due at least in part to people taking a negative attitude. "It's important," said he, "to dissipate the extraordinary state of lack of confidence. So maybe this means President Ford may attempt a dramatic economic counterattack, do so 2 weeks from now in his State of the Union message to Congress and the nation." The U.S. Labor Department announces the allocation of nearly $800 million to state and local governments throughout the nation to be used to create about 100,000 public service jobs, help ease the problem of growing unemployment. Labor Secretary Brennan adding that said funds must be used quickly or they'll be forfeited. "We're determined to get this out to governors, mayors, and county executives," said he, "so they can hire the unemployed." The president was meeting today with Vice President Rockefeller and others, attempting to work up the proposals that he expects to present for congressional action. The White House also conceded today that some members of the new CIA study commission may have had past links with U.S. intelligence operations. Spokesman Ron Nesson stressing they would not have been picked if they had had some connection with the CIA that would hamper the investigation. The number of bidders today at the first U.S. gold auction in this century, 209. Average bid, $150 an ounce. Also, another drop of about $5 on the London bullion market, ending at $169 an ounce. A London broker saying there will be some nervousness in the market for a few days. As for the giant Japanese supertanker, the one that ran aground 5 miles southeast of Singapore Harbor, the 250,000-ton Showa Maru spewed about 1 million gallons of crude oil into the sea. Officials now say the oil slick threatens to pollute beaches not only around Singapore Island, but also along the coast of Malaysia and nearby Sumatra, even Borneo. The Shah of Iran today in Amman was conferring with Jordan's King Hussein, the latter attempting to mediate a long-standing border dispute between Iran and Iraq. The Shah's visit is described as historic, of great political significance to Arab-Iranian relations in general. In Rome, Pope Paul blessed some 600 new Roman Catholic missionaries, young men and women, clergy, lay personnel, medical missionaries, soon to scatter throughout the world, the pontiff praising the young missionaries for going forth, as he said, poor and humble, armed only with the cross of Jesus. From Moscow comes a report on preparations being made for next summer's joint U.S.-Russian space flight. Soviet space expert Vladimir Shatalov saying the Russian spacemen will speak English and the Americans will speak Russian. Says he, "It's easier this way because when persons speak a foreign language, they speak slowly, more clearly." And Shatalov adds, "They'll also devise a joint menu, including items such as ham, mutton, chicken with prunes, a spicy Asian soup called harcho." They had also planned to send along some Russian corn soup and strong Russian cheese, but found that not everyone liked that. And now this message.
Your mail, Mrs. Johnson. Got your Reader's Digest sweepstakes letter.
Oh, I've been waiting for that.
Watch your mail, because over 500,000 people have won in Reader's Digest sweepstakes. People just like you. They've shared millions of dollars. Now there's a new Reader's Digest $400,000 sweepstakes. Letters are in the mail now. You could win up to $24,000 in cash. Over 20,000 winners in all. And there's no purchase necessary. Be sure to enter, because it's the only way to win. Void where prohibited.
We could use $24,000.
At Offenbach, West Germany, an attempt to create a new image for the police. Their police department adopting as its new symbol the bulldog. A spokesman saying, "Police and bulldogs share common traits such as fellowship, faith, fondness for children, and reliability. So here's to all police." And this is Lowell Thomas for CBS News saying, so long until tomorrow.
KOIN News Time is 6 minutes past 5 o'clock. My name is...
Presidential Press Secretary Ron Nessen says that Mr. Ford will be working every day this week on an economic program that he will present to Congress in the State of the Union message later this month. Treasury Secretary William Simon, speaking in New Orleans, says that Mr. Ford's program will be tough, comprehensive, and effective. Simon says the program might contain tax cuts, but he again rejects wage and price controls and criticizes, though, those who advocate such controls.
Can these people be serious? When are we going to learn that this great system in the United States, which has provided the American people with the highest standard of living and the greatest prosperity in the world, should be allowed the freedom to function? All I say to these people who are calling for wage and price controls today is three things. Number one, they have absolutely no ability at economic analysis. They have damn short memories, and their knowledge of history is incredible.
Simon was speaking at a convention of the American Farm Bureau Federation in New Orleans. Reuters News Service reports that the Ford administration is probably going to ask Congress to impose a tariff on imported oil and a tax of $3 a barrel on domestic oil. Reuters quotes what it calls informed sources in Washington as saying that the tariff and the tax together could add about 7 cents to the price of a gallon of gasoline if the costs are passed on to the consumer in full. But the sources add that oil companies have been criticized lately for their supposed high profits, and then they might choose to absorb some of the costs themselves without raising prices. The sources also say the tariff and the tax are expected to cut oil imports by about 350,000 barrels a day. Now this message.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
That's the question when you catch the common cold. Sneezing, drips, congestion. Then take 12-hour contact. You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact for up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms. The Tiny Time pills do it. Both the others contain things for aches and fever. The liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Give your cold to contact.
6301. Take contact. Only as directed.
Officials in Thailand are rushing relief supplies to several southern provinces where unseasonable heavy rains have caused floods and reportedly killed 40 people. Communications with the area have been knocked out. Heavy crop damage is reported as the rains continue for the 5th straight day. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
Police have identified 2 bullet-riddled bodies found yesterday near St. Helens as those of 37-year-old Charles Vernon Anderson and 55-year-old James Frederick Collins, both of Vancouver, Washington. Multnomah County District Attorney Harold Haas says he's ready to present 4 cases to the county grand jury under Oregon's new anti-pornography law. If indictments result, they'll be the first in the state under that new law. Arnold Kogan resigned today as director of Oregon's Department of Land Conservation and Development. During the past year, the commission scheduled a raft of public hearings, culminating in a comprehensive list of land use guidelines. They were adopted in the form of 14 land use planning goals, which must be incorporated in local land use plans. The inmates at Oregon State Prison have been locked in their cells all day while officials investigate reports of planned disturbances. A Christmas morning fire in Salem for the mentally retarded claimed its third victim today. He's 81-year-old Roscoe Harmon of Salem, who died from the effects of smoke inhalation. 97 Sports, Chuck Price and Bob Nickel combined for 24 points in the second half tonight to lead Western Washington to an 83-52 Evergreen Conference basketball victory over Oregon College. Elsewhere, Pacific 69, George Fox 64, and Oregon Tech 69, Southern Oregon 68. 97 weather for Portland, Vancouver, cloudy with periods of rain through Wednesday, lows near 40, highs between 45 and 50, and west winds. Rain chance 90% through tomorrow night. Currently in downtown Portland, we have 41 degrees at KOIN. The time is 11:08. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next.
K-O-I-N. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. This week starts the second year of Mystery Theater, and it will be a week to remember. A week devoted to the world's master of mystery, horror, and the bizarre, Edgar Allan Poe. Each night this week, it will be my pleasure and honor to bring you one of Poe's masterpieces, our respectful tribute to the creative genius of a truly great author whose stories will live for all time. Help us celebrate the start of our second year of Mystery Theater by joining us every night this week in our salute to the world's acknowledged master of the macabre. Of all the fears that have plagued mankind, probably the most terrible was the possibility of being buried alive. Oh, don't shrink away. You have nothing to fear, modern medical science being what it is. But not so many years ago, the thought of waking up in one's closed coffin beneath 6 feet of earth, that was a horrible thought indeed. And an ever-present danger, which led, in at least one case, to a remarkably strange experiment.
Let me go. Oh, please let me go. I'm dead, I tell you. I'm dead.
My Guy, I must release her.
No, Gordon, no. She's alive.
Only my spirit lives. My body has been dead for days.
Guy, I beg you, let me release her from the spell of mesmerism I cast over her.
Yes, yes. Release me.
No. Victory, no. Oh, no, my darling. If I let Gordon break his hold on you, you will be dead, and I can't face the horror of that.
Then a worse horror awaits you. Oh, horror. Far, far worse.
Our mystery drama, The Premature Burial, was adapted from the Edgar Allan Poe classic, especially for the Mystery Theater, by George Lowther, and stars Keir DeLay. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
If you're driving a car you knew you were going to buy the minute you saw it, Skyhawk. Buick Skyhawk. You just knew a car this streamlined would be easy on gas, and you were right. In published EPA mileage test results, Skyhawk got 25 miles per gallon on the open road and 16 in the city. Skyhawk. It's rakish, it's low slung, it looks European, but it's a Buick.
Living free.
This is Bob Considine for the National Leukemia Association. Please remember this name, Project Research. In addition to our other services, our special effort named Project Research has been established to help deliver a knockout punch against leukemia. Send your tax-deductible donation today to Project Research, care of the National Leukemia Association, Box 3003, Garden City, New York. This is Bob Considine saying thanks to you for Project Research. You know, we're committed to conquering leukemia.
See if you can identify these sounds. Squeaky door? Lion growling. A motor scooter. Cow mooing? Spanish dancer. If you agreed with these guesses, you've been fooled, because each sound was made by a whale. That's right, a great big blubbery old whale just buzzing and clicking and grunting away deep down in the ocean. The National Audubon Society has joined a world effort to save these amazing animals from extinction. We need your help. To find out what you can do, write National Audubon Society, 950 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.
As you know, I am an inveterate and incurable reader of diaries. The Paston letters, John Evelyn, Pepys, Boswell, young Pastor Kilvert. I've read them all, and many more besides. The daily journals, that is, of lesser-known folk. In so doing, I've happened upon some curious tales, but none, I assure you, that can match in sheer terror the one I bring you now. I happened upon it years ago in a small, out-of-the-way bookshop in London, England. It's the journal of a young doctor, Dr. Gordon Rainey, and it recounts certain events that took place in the year 1810. Now, let me see where to begin. Now, here. I arrived at the Bull and Bear Inn in Salisbury, the doctor writes, in one of the worst of storms,
and having stabled my horse and seen to its proper care, soon found myself in the rooms my friend Guy Peterson had engaged for himself. In all the years I'd known him, since undergraduate days at Cambridge, I'd never known this closest of my friends to be in such a state of overwrought nerves.
Thank God you come, Gordon. Thank God you're here at last, my friend.
I came as soon as I could after getting your message, but what is it? I've never seen you in such a state of nerves.
Thank God, you're actually trembling. She's dead. Dead, you see, and they buried her last week, but I must see her once again. Gaze on her face.
Now look at me.
What?
Look at me. Look full into my eyes.
What? Gordon, what are you doing?
I'm merely calming you down through the use of mesmerism.
Mesmerism? What in heaven's name is that? And why do you stare at me? As if I...
That's right, old friend. That's right. Calm down. Quiet yourself. Relax. Just loosen up. Let yourself go. That's it. That's it. There now. Feel better?
Why, yes. But how did you do it? What is this mesmerism, did you say?
Yes. A means of controlling another person by, well, to put it simplistically, dominating him with one's own will, the force of one's own willpower.
But that's miraculous. And yet you did it. I feel ever so much calmer now because you made me.
Good. And now, Guy, calmly tell me why you sent that urgent message to meet you here in Salisbury.
Victorine is dead.
I know how you must feel, and of course I sympathize deeply, but her death, isn't it a blessing?
A blessing? She's dead. Victorine is dead.
And at last free of the hellish life Sir Giles Buckingham led her. Come now, Guy. Is that not something to thank God for?
Well, I suppose so.
Oh, my dear good friend. I know how much you loved her.
Loved her? She was my heart, my soul, my very life. A life that's ended for me when her family forced her to marry Sir Charles.
We talked of it again and again, but now that she is dead, perhaps you can try to take up your life again.
I must see her, Gordon.
See her?
That's why I'm here. Why I asked you here. I must see her, Gordon. Gaze upon her lovely face once more.
But she's buried a week ago, you said.
In the family vault on the Buckingham estate. I want to go there tonight. Force entry into the vault. Open her coffin. And look at her once more. Just once more. I need you because I fear to go alone.
There is more to fear than that, Guy.
What do you mean?
A body, dead and buried for a week in a damp and virtually airless vault. Guy, you'll not see Victorine as she was in life.
I shall see her.
Guy, this is mad. I beg you to...
I must! I don't care what she has become. I must see her once more. Must I do it alone? Will you help me?
If it is your wish, you wish it so strongly, then... Yes, I'll help you.
We must be careful not to be discovered, Gordon. This moonlight makes everything as clear as day.
There'll be no one about unless the estate is guarded at night against poachers.
Let's hope not. Wind kicking up. That should help a little. Cover any sound we make.
Yes.
Here's the gate to the estate.
Is it locked?
We'll find out. No. Come. There. Not so much for that.
Now, the location of the vault. Do you know where it is?
Yes. That line of copper beeches on the hill. Do you see them?
Yes.
The vault lies just beyond. Come.
Wait.
That barking dog. If the place is guarded by a dog or even dogs.
Anna, don't let your nerves get the best of you. Bad enough to face trouble when it comes, not before.
That dog. It's here on the ground. And closer. Gordon?
Steady, man, steady. Yes, it's on the grounds, all right. And coming this way. Come. Let's step out into the open.
Into the open?
If the dog is coming this way, I want to meet it in full moonlight.
Why, Gordon? Why?
Because my only chance of subduing the beast, if it can be done, will be with my eyes. My voice, too, yes, but the eyes. I see it. Coming over the hill against the moonlight.
Good Lord. Oh, what was this animal?
It's a mastiff and a big one. And he's caught our scent. Step out into the moonlight. Quickly, or all is lost.
Yes. Gordon, I'm scared.
Stand still. Make no move. Leave this to me. All right, boy. Quiet down now. That's a good dog. That's it. We're not here to do you any harm, boy. We're friends. Your friends. Yes, that's right, boy. There's a good dog. Fine dog.
Unbelievable. You stopped him with your eyes. Held him to the one spot just by looking at him, and with your voice, you soothed him. You calmed him. Took all the fight out of him.
Yes. And now, let's get on to the vault.
Here we are. The vault.
Locked?
Afraid so. I'll have to use the pry bar I bought.
Well, be as quiet as you can.
Yes. There. Gate's open. We can go in. Light the lantern, Gordon.
Guy, once more, I urge you not to go through with this.
I must. You know I must.
Now listen to me.
Light the lantern.
I'm lighting the lantern, but listen to me. You remember Victorine as she was, the lovely, innocent, gentle girl who was forced to marry Sir Giles 7 years ago. The torments he put her through, the daily torture of living with such a beast, these alone would have changed her face. But she's dead as well, and buried here a whole week. Guy, I beg you once again, remember her as she was, not as she must now be.
Shine the lantern about.
Very well.
Oh, dear heaven, there are at least a dozen coffins piled one on another. How can we tell which is Victorian?
Hers would be one of the topmost. Yes, and the velvet covering would be the newest. The brass studs still bright. Ah, that one up there, I think.
Let's get it down and see.
Just let me put the lantern over there. So, now then, I'll take the head of the coffin, you the other end. Can you reach it?
Just.
All right, pull then. Now, pull it to the edge. And when we get it to the edge, we can put our hands under it and let it down very gently.
Yes. Gordon, I heard it. What was it? It couldn't be. Can't be what I thought. Shh. A voice. And it comes from inside the coffin. Oh, dear. And above it, this is Victorine's. Gordon, she's alive. Alive.
Let's put it on the ground. On the ground.
Easy now. Easy.
Pry bar now. Pry off the lid.
Yes. Yes.
Well, hurry, man.
My nerves. I am trembling. Those strings.
Give it to me. Now, then.
Hurry. Hurry.
Well, I'm working as fast as I can. There.
The lantern. Quickly, the lantern.
Yes, yes.
Shine it into the coffin.
There.
Oh, look. Victorine alive. Alive.
Guy, it's you. It's you. Oh, God, thank you, thank you. Horrors, I've been through.
All right, gently now, my dear, gently.
Gordon, you, Gordon.
Yes, yes, my dear. Come on, Guy, lend a hand. Help me lift her out.
Oh, I can't believe it.
Oh, buried alive, oh, my dearest. It must have been horrible for you.
Oh, I don't want to think about it. I can't tell you. To wake up, at first not knowing where you are, and everything black, pitch black, suffocating, scarce enough air to breathe.
Best not
and then,
to think about it.
And then you move, and you feel the sides of the coffin. Narrow, so narrow. And you reach up, and you touch the lid, but the lid's only an inch or two from your face. And then, suddenly, you know. Oh, heaven help me, you know. You scream with the terror of it. You scream and scream and
stop
scream.
It. Stop it at once.
Yes, Gordon.
You're alive, and that's all that matters.
Yes.
And thanks to what I called a mad impulse, you're safe.
Oh, yes. Oh, my darling, my dearest.
Sweetheart.
My dearest.
Sweetheart.
Listen to me, God. You two. Listen, we face a problem.
What problem?
Well, how are you going to take her back to Sir Giles? How explain all this? Sir Giles will have us arrested for breaking and entering.
She's not going back to Sir Giles. She's coming with me, away from this hellish place.
Oh, my darling.
You can't do that. She is his wife.
I'll die before I let Sir Giles get his hand on that.
A promise you may very well keep, my dear sir.
What?
It's Giles.
How did you...
The barking of my dog aroused me. I, in turn, roused my keepers, who are out and about scouring the woods. As it happens, I came this way, saw the light of your lantern flickering in the vault, and prepared to surprise what I thought to be grave robbers. Well, as it happens, I am the one surprised. Indeed, I'm shocked. I scarcely expected to find Victorine alive.
Yes, she's alive. And from here on, Sir Giles will live, I pray, a far happier life with me than ever she did with you. Move aside, sir.
I think not. If you're going anywhere, my friend, you and your accomplice, it's to jail. As for my wife, since she is returned to life, she will also return to me.
Oh, no!
You don't move, sir, I warn you. For if you do, it will give me extreme pleasure to blow your head off with this gun. Extreme pleasure.
I confess that at this point in Dr. Gordon Rainey's journal, I thought the tale over and done with. I was wrong, for really, it was only the beginning. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off. The sinus medicine's in the bright red box.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problem? Your Better Business Bureau knows.
Hey, honey, this looks like a good deal. No payment for 3 months on easy credit terms.
But Lou, don't you think we should be sure we can meet the payments?
She's right, Lou. Shop for credit as carefully as you shop for products.
Who are you?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau. Now, before you decide to buy anything on time, ask yourself if you could make the payments out of your regular income. How far is your credit extended now? Have you any credit or cash reserve to cover an unexpected illness or loss of job?
Gee, thanks. Maybe I'd better think it over. Thanks for your advice.
Not at all. Just another consumer tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Well, as I said, I thought that Dr. Gordon Rainey's story had come to an end. He had gone with his friend, Guy Peterson, to the vault where the woman he loved lay dead in her coffin, only to find her alive. And then, as he planned to run away with her to save her from further torments at the hands of her husband, he was stopped by the appearance of that same husband, gun in hand, promising to have him and Dr. Rainey jailed.
Giles, I entreat you. Let them go. They've done no harm. On the contrary, if it hadn't been for Guy and Dr. Rainey, I'd even now be lying in my coffin, alive.
Would that you were. Damn you, woman, would that you were. Your unexpected return from the grave will lose me a fortune.
But how can my being alive cost you anything?
Lady Hastings is a widow. Lady Hastings has an income of $30,000 a year. I proposed marriage to her on Tuesday, and she accepted me.
You proposed marriage to another woman 3 days after your wife died?
Why not? I'm alive, very much alive. And to live, one needs money. Why the look, Dr. Rainey?
You have more sense, it seems, than sensitivity, Sir Giles.
Insulting me will only worsen matters for you, Doctor, if that's possible. You can't be as unaware as you would like to seem that your career is ruined. A doctor, a physician, arrested for breaking and entering a mortuary, a sacred repository of the dead.
Sir Giles, you mustn't do this to Dr. Rainey. He helped me because he's my friend, a good and true friend. He was against it from the very start and would never have agreed to assist me had it not been for his deep and abiding sense of loyalty.
Oh, do stop. Do, or you shall have me in tears.
Tears from a stone? A miracle?
Oh, I... Oh. Very well, then. Stone that will crush you, dear wife. Crush you until the death you've escaped will seem a paradise to you.
Put down that gun and I...
but I have no intention of putting down the gun. Certainly not until the bailiff arrives and takes you into custody, to jail, where I shall see to it you rot. The two of you.
What do you mean, rot?
I mean, quite simply, that once you're put in jail, you will never leave it. You will rot there, Doctor.
You make no sense, Sir Giles. The penalty for breaking and entering...
Penalties?
Who speaks of penalty?
I do. There are laws. Laws in this nation.
But only one law here, me. I am the law in the village of Buckingham. I am Buckingham.
Oh, and he is.
No, Sir Giles. You will not imprison this man for the rest of his life. Nor will you imprison me.
Oh? And may I ask why not?
Because I say so. Because I tell you so. Now, don't look away. Look at me. Look into my eyes. Have the courage to look into them and tell me then. Will you imprison us?
Mesmerism.
Why, such is my intention, yes?
Is your intention, Sir Giles? Or was?
Well, it certainly was. I mean to say, the way you put it, most eloquently.
Good Lord. It's working. He's doing it again.
Doing what?
And you, being a man of sensitivity, my eloquence, the validity of what I say, has touched you. Is that not so? It is so, isn't it?
Seen in a different light, so to speak. Yes, it would serve no purpose, to put you in jail. None really.
And so you let us go? You will let us go?
Yes, go. Get out of my sight, the two of you, and never come back.
Let us leave Guy.
Victorine.
Under the law, there's nothing we can do. She is his wife.
I can't leave her.
You must. The bailiff will be here any moment, and I can't dominate Sir Giles' will with mine much longer.
Victorine.
Go, my darling.
What? To leave you with him?
No, whatever happens to me will be harder to bear if you are in prison. Go, I entreat you. Go.
Second thought.
He's coming out of it. Guy, my friend, I've done all I can for you, and I'll not see my career ruined because you...
Because you're right. Goodbye, my darling. My dearest. Goodbye. Mesmerize me, Gordon. Do something. Do anything to relieve me of this torment.
You must control yourself.
I think of her, dream of her. She is never out of my thought, and always I am stricken with the thought that my very imaginings are as nothing to what he is really doing to her. The beatings, the starving of her, her very loneliness, the vile subjection to his passions. Oh, merciful heaven, I shall go out of my mind.
Yes, Guy, you shall. Unless you pull yourself together. Now, if you don't stop thinking of her, if you don't stop letting your fancy invent miseries, she is very likely not suffering. You will go insane. You will.
Someone at the door. Who?
Were you expecting someone?
No one. Whom would I want to see?
I'll answer.
Victorine!
Save me, Gordon, save me!
Good heavens. Come in, my dear. Guy, look, it's Victorine.
Victorine? Oh. It is. It is. My dearest,
I could bear it no more. Oh, yes. Oh, hold me in your arms. Hold me.
Oh, Victorine.
He may kill me, but I'll never go back. Never. He never loved me. And now he hates me because I keep him from marrying Lady Hastings and her fortune and makes me pay. Oh, save me from him. Let him take me back.
Gordon, she's fainting.
Here, Victorine, some brandy. Lie down on the couch.
There, my love. Lie down. Relax.
Let me take over, Guy. Go and bar the door, and bar it solidly.
Bar the...
He must know she has fled, and to where she has fled, and he cannot risk her out of his sight because...
Because what? Damn it, what? Say it!
Let me say it for him. Because once again I am near death.
No!
Yes. Unless I can find rest. unless I can feel myself safe from him. I shall die.
You will not.
I want to die.
Now stop talking, man, for once. Now bar that door.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh. Wait, too late.
No, I threw the bolt.
Not enough.
Open up. Open up, I say. Or I'll have the door broken down.
Gordon, what's wrong?
Well, unless you want a smashed door with nothing gained. Open it.
Open, you hear? Open.
You take her back to Buckingham.
Yes, he will. She's his wife. There's nothing you can do.
Now, damn you all. At it again, are you? Stealing my wife? Taking what belongs to me? You men, take her.
No.
Over my dead body.
Take her.
Back. No.
Enough. Oh, enough. Stand back or I'll brain you with this candlestick. All right, then.
Now, you'll be next, my friend. If you don't...
Very well. Move back. You're quite a hand with a candlestick, Dr. Rainey.
Yes.
You've laid my man out. I trust you know what this means for you.
Perhaps you should consider what it means for you, Sir Giles.
Me, sir?
Yes, you're not in Buckingham now. You're in London.
Seeking a wife who's run from her husband to her lover.
No, sir. A woman who has come to her doctor.
What?
What do you say? Your wife is dangerously ill. You have only to use your eyes to see that. I, being her friend, I am sure she sought me at my residence, and, not finding me there, came here.
Adroit? Most adroit, Dr. Rainey. May I ask, then, if you've prescribed for her illness?
Not as yet, Sir Giles.
Ah, but you will.
Yes.
Not good enough, Dr. Rainey. As her husband, or lawful husband... I intend to take her back with me to Buckingham. Victorine, my darling, come with me.
No.
Oh, really? Now you've no choice.
No.
Take your hands off her.
No.
If you
die, you have no recourse. In the eyes of the law, she is his wife. He wants her, and you cannot keep her from him.
Sensibly said, Doctor. Here, dear wife, good wife, faithful and loyal wife, take my hand... and let me help you from off that couch. Take my hand.
Vile. You are vile. Filthy. Foul. I shall never touch you again. I'd rather burn off my hands than touch you, you evil man. I'll die rather than go back with you. Die.
Damn you, come.
No. No. No.
She is dead.
Oh, no.
Are you sure, Doctor? She was pronounced dead once before, you know.
There is no pulse. I can detect no vital signs. To all intents and purposes, she is dead.
Ah, you modern-day doctors. Always escaping in words and phrases. To all intents and purposes. Which is to say, you're not sure.
Who is sure of anything, Sir Giles? However, considering what has gone before, we will keep her here under observation for a few days.
You'll do nothing of the sort. You men, pick her up and bear her to my carriage.
No! Wait! What are you doing?
Possessing myself of my property, sir. Whether it be alive or dead.
But you can't do this. You can't.
Take her to my carriage.
Gordon!
There is nothing either of us can do. And Guy... she is dead. I'm virtually sure of that.
But if she is not...
Don't trouble yourself. Your own friend, the man you trust, Dr. Gordon Rainey, has pronounced her dead. All I intend to do is see that she is properly buried. This time, to stay properly buried.
Is she dead? You must understand, in those days, more than half a century ago, one was never sure. I'll return shortly for Act Three.
You're on the open road. rolling free and feeling great about your new Buick Century. Because in published EPA mileage test results, a V6 Buick Century got the best highway mileage of any U.S. midsize car. 24 miles per gallon and 16 in the city. Your Century's comfortable, it's nimble, it's economical, and above all, it's a Buick.
Living free.
In God we trust. America speaks.
George Washington remarked during the Constitutional Convention, "Let us raise a standard to which the wise and honest can repair. The event is in the hands of God."
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Here's a medical puzzle. A person has a deadly disease, yet leads a normal life. How is it possible? The answer is chemotherapy. Through this treatment, thousands of cancer victims regain active, productive lives despite their cancer. Many of these people can continue in their jobs for years, while the anti-cancer drugs, which we call chemotherapy, control their disease. But many types of cancer remain difficult to control. Through research, the Chemotherapy Foundation is stimulating the development of new drugs. More types of cancers will someday be controlled. The question is not if, but when. You can help by contributing to the Chemotherapy, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
Think for a moment how you would feel if you thought someone you loved might conceivably have been buried alive. And you will understand the feelings of young Guy Peterson. Think again how you would feel if you were a close friend of Guy's, a physician who risks his career every time he consents to help Guy spirit his beloved from her tomb. And you will then understand why Dr. Gordon Rainey wrote in his journal,
"I feel if Guy is not mad, he is close to it. He has never been a robust man, but on the contrary, something of a neurotic. So it was that I refused, and again refused, when he begged,
'Help me. I beg you, Gordon, help me.'
That is what I am trying to do, by refusing what you ask. We were caught in the act of entering the Buckingham Vault the first time. We would surely be caught a second. There can be no doubt that Sir Giles is having the place guarded.
If there's a guard, we'll get past him somehow, or knock him unconscious, or yes, you could mesmerize him as you did that dog and Sir Giles.
Guy, my dear, good friend, listen to me. First, Victorine is dead.
How can you say that? She suffers, she must suffer from some sort of malady that makes her only appear to be dead. There are such maladies.
Yes, everything you say is true, but...
You admit she could yet be alive. Buried alive in that tomb even now.
Oh, stop that. Stop it. Second thing I was going to point out is that mesmerism doesn't always work. Some people, the kind of peasant type who'd likely be guarding the vault, cannot be brought under the hypnotic influence.
Yes, but...
And a third thing is this. I am a doctor. If I get caught again, Sir Giles could end my career. And all I have tried to be, all the good I can accomplish in this world, would be set at naught. I'm sorry, Guy. I cannot risk it again.
Then I must do it alone.
You will not do it alone.
You cannot stop me. No one, nothing can stop me from rescuing Victorine from that vault.
Guy, you are mad. You are thinking irrationally, acting senselessly.
That's my concern, and certainly no longer yours.
Oh, Guy, Guy.
Leave me, Gordon. I must prepare for the journey to Salisbury. Well, leave, I said.
No, no. I'll go with you.
You've changed your mind?
I have not. But this is a mad business, and I'm a fool to help you, but I am also your friend.
Gordon?
Yes. garden.
Yes. I see the man. A big brute he is.
Do you think you can mesmerize him? Bring him under, what did you call it?
Hypnotic influence? I doubt it. He's the type I told you about. All muscle and little brain. It's a dark night to make things worse. You wouldn't be able to see my eyes clearly.
Do you dare try?
I have no choice. But keep this in mind, Guy.
Yes?
If I fail, as I most certainly shall, run for it. Do you understand? Don't try to fight him. Run.
Yes, whatever you say.
All right, now then. Let's step out of these bushes and walk toward him. Say and do nothing. Leave things to me. Come.
Who's there?
Oh, don't shoot, friend.
Then stand where you be. Let me have a look at you.
Of course. We mean no harm, friend. We are simply two gentlemen who got lost in these woods. And so...
How come you're lost? This here is Buckingham Manor. And it's surrounded, all of it, with an iron fence.
Yes.
How come you got in?
Well, we really don't know. It's a dark night, and our eyes couldn't see much.
A likely story.
You must believe me. My sight is very poor, as it is. Very poor. Look for yourself. Look into my eyes and see for yourself.
Yeah, now, what is this? Look into your eyes. It's up to the manor house with you two. Well, your answer to Sir Giles for trespassing on his...
Guy. That takes care of him.
You stabbed him.
I couldn't control him.
I said to run if I couldn't, but... Oh, Guy, I think you've killed him.
Quickly, into the vault.
Wait. What's happened to you? Don't you realize that you've just murdered a man and that... Oh, you've gone mad. You have gone mad.
I am as sane as you. But mad or sane, I must get Victorine out of that vault. Now, come.
All right, but heaven help me. What have I got myself into now?
Oh, Clybor. Where is it?
Where? Well, you had it.
Oh, yes. I must hurry. Hurry, she's alive, and then her coffin alive. I must... There. Come along, Gordon. Come along.
All right.
There's a coffin.
Yes.
Look fast. Get the lid off.
He's gone insane.
Victorine, can you hear me? Are you alive, my dearest? Perhaps fainted. Oh, Gordon? That's possible, isn't it? Alive, but in a faint?
Oh, Guy, my poor dear friend.
There. Lid's off, and she...
Dead. As I told you, dead.
Oh, we can't be sure. You know we can't be sure.
Guy, in the name of reason...
Help me! Help me get her out of the coffin.
To what purpose?
We'll take her back with us to London and...
Take her back where?
To my place.
The first place Sir Giles will come to.
Then to yours.
Mine? Do you realize what you're asking of me?
If you're the friend you claim to be...
But what you ask is impossible. You've already made me your unwitting accomplice to murder, and now... Guy, you are out of your mind.
And you, Gordon, are no friend.
Guy, I beg you, leave her where she is. She's dead. Leave her at peace.
She is not dead. And I am taking her back to London.
If whoever may read these pages of my journal thinks me a fool, I could not agree more. But Guy was my closest friend and, what's more, was clearly deranged by the love he bore Victorine and his horror of letting her be buried alive. So we took her body to my rooms in London. 3 days she lay on the couch in my sitting room, Guy never leaving her side night or day. But on the third day, I knew something must be done to end this madness of his.
Look at her. There's no sign, not one of decomposition.
Yes, because it is the middle of winter and we've kept the windows open and no fire in the fireplace. This sitting room of mine is a virtual ice house.
I know.
Now listen to me. What you persist in doing is not only lunacy, it is sacrilege. The dead deserve decent burial. If you love Victorine, as you say you do, let us bury her, Guy. Bury her tonight.
Where?
Then you will.
Yes. Where can we take her?
Well, I've thought of that and prepared for it. A grave awaits her body in St. Pancras Cemetery. All is arranged. We can take her now under cover of night.
Then let us do it.
Good, good. Now, I've kept my carriage waiting below. Do you want to carry her, or shall I?
Let me. It will be the last time I hold it in my arms.
All right. Pick her up, Guy.
Yes. Yes. Gordon.
Oh.
Gordon, what was that?
It's nothing. Come on, let's go downstairs.
But she gave a sigh when I picked her up.
Guy.
You heard? Gordon, you heard?
Good Lord, I did. Here, move aside.
She's alive. I knew it. Alive.
Quiet, man. In heaven's name, be quiet. Victorine. Victorine, do you hear me?
Yeah.
I have taken your hand in mine. Do you feel it?
No.
Can you open your eyes? If you can, open them.
She has. Gordon, she's gazing at me.
Victorine, do you see Guy?
Yes. Farewell, my darling. Farewell.
Farewell.
I am near death.
No.
Only a spark of life remains.
No. No, she must not die. Gordon, stop her.
What are you saying?
Mesmerism. The hypnotic influence. Use it.
Are you mad? Use it? How?
Command her not to die. Command her to live.
Command her to live? Command what to live when there was scarce a breath of life in her? Her mind, her spirit, what? But I did it. May God, in his infinite mercy, forgive me. I did it. Using the powers of mesmerism, I held her eyes with mine. And commanded her, forced her to live. Even though over and over she cried out,
I am dead, let me go, I'm dead.
But I did not let her go, could not let her go, because, yes, I confess it, because the experiment fascinated me. I, Dr. Gordon Rainey, committed for over 5 long weeks, committed the sin, the crime, the sacrilege of holding the spirit within a dead body to this earth, even though it pleaded, entreated, begged.
Release me! Oh, release me!
In a short time, yes. But tell me first, what are you? Spirit? Soul? Mind? What?
I am... Dead.
What's that?
Someone at the door. I'll answer.
You!
Found you at last, eh, you damn grave robber?
Sir Giles.
Yes, and you, Dr. Rainey, who so helped me, will no longer be called doctor when I'm through with you.
No, Giles, no!
Oh, what's this?
She lives?
No, Sir Giles.
But she speaks. I heard her speak. Here. See for myself.
Stay away from her. Don't you touch her.
Get out of my way, you.
Don't touch her, I said. Don't touch her. Oh. You shot him. You killed Guy.
Before he stabbed me to death, as he stabbed my servant. Self-defense, sir. And now enough of this. I came for my wife's body, but it appears I shall be taking her wife back to Buckingham Manor with me. Rouse her. Rouse her at once.
I cannot, Sir Giles. She is dead. Has been dead for more than 6 weeks.
I heard her speak.
Yes. But it was her soul. Her spirit. I don't know what. But not her body. Her body is dead.
Yes. Dead. I beg you, don't hold me any longer. Guy is here. Let me go to him. I say to you, but I am dead. Let me go.
She comes with me.
No. She goes where she should have gone long since now, had it not been for me. Victorine, I release you. Go. And in the sanctity of death,
join the lover you never had in life.
What's happening? A body. A body. It's disintegrating. Before my eyes. Rotting. Moldering. Horrible. Horrible.
Horrible indeed it was. For using Edgar Allan Poe's own words, upon the couch there now lay not the body of Victorine, but a nearly liquid mass of loathsome, detestable putrescence. Mr. Poe's words, mind. When he set out to horrify you, he horrified you. I'll be back shortly.
Ladies and gentlemen, today our man in the street interview comes to you from Big City, USA. Excuse me, sir. What do you get high on?
I beg pardon?
You know, what do you turn on with?
Well, you're some kind of a cop. Well, it doesn't make any difference anyhow, because I don't use anything.
Then how do you get high?
Oh, I get high on a lot of things, like seeing my kids start to walk or the first dandelions in the park, you know.
Anything else?
Yeah, getting tired gives me a high. If it's a tired, you know, from something I like bowling with the guys or taking a long bike ride. But, hey, would you believe polishing my car gives me a high? And it's even legal.
In other words, then, you get a natural high.
Yeah, natural, that's it. Which, incidentally, doesn't mean that you're high all the time. It'd be unreasonable to expect to be high all the time, you know?
It's like getting high on life.
Sure, but you got to remember, getting high on life could be habit forming.
This mini-interview was brought to you nationwide by the New York State Drug Abuse Control Commission.
The premature burial is only one of a number of stories by the master Edgar Allan Poe I've had the pleasure of bringing you. We now owe, and generations to come will owe, so much to his imagination, his vibrant fancy, that it might be nice to think of him now and then. Let his name pass through your thoughts, as it does through mine, and to wish him well, wherever he may be. Our cast included Keir DeLay, Paul Hecht, Guy Sorrell, and Marion Selvers. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
What is her condition?
Well, it's not fatal, thank God. Not even very serious. Badly bruised, cut over her right eye, but she's going to be all right. The monster failed to make good his threat to kill her.
We may indeed thank God for that.
Well, at least we know more than we did before, Monsieur Dupin. We know that the murderer is a big man, a huge man of unbelievable strength, and that he has black hair.
We know a great deal more than that, Pierre.
We do?
Well, I do, and so do you. Only, as I've said before, you don't know you know.
Oh, monsieur. Monsieur, I do not have your brilliant brain. Well, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that you can solve this awful mystery, that you can save Yvette. The murderer failed this time, but he'll try again.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Sinoff, the Sinus Medicines, and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
KOIN in Portland.
PBS News.
President Ford meets this morning with some of his top advisors to further study the economy. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mr. Ford is working this week on his new economic program to present to Congress later this month in the State of the Union message. Treasury Secretary William Simon says Mr. Ford's program will be tough and comprehensive, that it may include a tax cut and new help for the country's unemployed. Simon says the unemployment rate is going up from the 7.1% rate announced last week. The subject of unemployment came up in testimony yesterday before the Joint Congressional Economic Committee. Nelson Benton tells us about it.
President Ford's chief economist, Alan Greenspan, told a congressional committee the economy should start bottoming out by the middle of the year, but he sees little chance under current policies for any improvement in the employment situation this year. Greenspan said unemployment may well reach 8%. Wisconsin Senator Proxmire questioned whether it might get even worse.
Is there a real possibility, let me put it that way, that unemployment could go above 10%?
I would say, from what I know at the moment, that is an extremely small probability. And I, for all practical purposes, would dismiss it as a forecast.
Greenspan would not comment on projected administration policy, but his testimony clearly implied that measures to stimulate the economy, such as a tax cut, are being seriously considered. Nelson Benton, CBS News, Washington.
More in a moment.
A snap. That's what shifting with the new Eaton Snapper 12-speed truck transmission is, a snap. Because the Eaton Snapper transmission lets you shift most of the time without a clutch. Just select the gear, use the accelerator, and the Eaton Snapper transmission shifts for you. It's almost impossible to clash gears because the Eaton Snapper transmission only shifts when the engine and road speed match. Yet, it has no synchronizers to wear out, no electrical circuits, and no torque converter. Instead, it uses heavy-duty springs to make easy shifts without driveline shock. It's a concept in shifting so new, it's patented. The simple design and operation of the Eaton Snapper transmission makes it dependable and easy to maintain. And it's priced right. Get the story from your OEM dealer or factory branch. Make shifting a snap with the new Eaton Snapper 12-speed transmission. Another innovation from Eaton Corporation, the makers of the famous Fuller transmissions.
Wisconsin Governor Patrick Lucey has called up 250 National Guardsmen to take over security around a Catholic-owned estate now occupied by a group of Indians in northern Wisconsin. Bill Plant has a report.
The National Guard will replace local police who have cordoned off the area around the estate for the past 6 days. More important, command of the situation here will pass from local lawmen to state officials. Both sides believe that this will mean a better negotiating climate between the authorities and the militant Indians who are occupying the estate. Significantly, it was one of the leaders of the occupation force who requested the presence of the Guard. One main point of dissension has been the unwillingness of police to give up an outpost within rifle range of the 64-room mansion the Indians have taken over. The militants believe they will be able to come to terms more easily with state negotiators than with the local district attorney. State officials on the scene here came to the reluctant conclusion that the Guard was the only answer. They had disagreed from the start with the tactics used by the sheriff and the district attorney. Troops are expected to begin replacing local police, and negotiations are expected to begin anew. Bill Plant, CBS News, Shawnee, Wisconsin.
Now, this message.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your cold to contact. The better.
6 or 3 or 1.
Please don't give me problems. I'm catching a common cold. Sneezing, drips, congestion.
Give your cold a contact. For up to 12 hours, continuous relief of those symptoms. You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact.
I know, the tiny time pills.
Right. Both the others have things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Sneezing, drips, congestion? I'll take the contact.
Give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact. Only as directed.
North Vietnamese troops have overrun the military and the administrative headquarters of Phuc Long Province, which is about 70 miles north of Saigon. The battle lasted 7 days, and last night, the last few hundred government defenders fell to a division-sized force of North Vietnamese who were backed up by tanks and heavy artillery. A small special government force is reported still fighting at a helicopter pickup point, but authoritative military sources in Saigon say that major organized resistance has ended at Phuc Long. 4 district towns have been captured in the communist month-long offense in the province. Burton K. Wheeler, who was one of the Senate's most outspoken isolationists before World War II, died last night at his home in Washington. Wheeler's son says his father apparently had a stroke. Wheeler, who was 92, was still active in a Washington law practice. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
A fire which firemen say was possibly caused by an unattended Christmas tree did $60,000 damage to a house at Southwest 144th and Downing Street in Beaverton Monday night. 3 engines, 1 fire truck, and 1 rescue car from Washington County Fire District 10 responded to the fire. Fire officials say one fireman was taken to the hospital for treatment of minor burns. A Western Airlines Flight 639 from Los Angeles experienced some problems Monday night before landing at Portland International Airport. Airport officials said the plane had hydraulic problems and did not know if its nose wheel was down. The main landing gears were in place. Fire and emergency crews from the airport and Multnomah County Fire District 10 were at the south runway at the airport, but the plane landed safely and without incident. Tri-Met's directors have stepped up efforts to build overdue suburban transit stations and exclusive bus lanes. KOIN's Boyd Levitt talked to Tri-Met General Manager Tom King and filed this report.
TriMet's management decided lengthy studies and the bureaucracy of planning have delayed efforts to develop suburban transit stations. So instead of trying to construct expensive lots and big covered waiting areas, TriMet has elected to use existing suburban parking areas. In addition, the agency wants express service begun on major highways, including Sunset, Banfield, and McAdam.
Hopefully some dedicated express lanes in some corridors, which we are already talking with state highways about giving us. So what we've really done is taken what was originally planned as a very intensive 15 weeks program that would have not been very well coordinated with other agencies because of the intensity of it and the high cost, and extended it to get more out of it.
TriMet's directors essentially dumped the idea of investing in big fancy suburban stations in favor of modest parking lots, and they delayed building exclusive transit corridors in favor of existing roadways.
Boyd Levitt. An armed man suspected of robbing the Oak Grove branch of the First State Bank Monday was critically wounded by a Clackamas County Sheriff's deputy at his rented home in Milwaukee. Listed in critical condition at Dwyer Memorial Hospital is 31-year-old Garber Bartha, a former security patrolman in Johnson City. Multnomah County budget experts are submitting a supplemental budget to county commissioners for the rest of this fiscal year, a budget reaching almost $5 million. In the past, this supplemental budget has been published at the end of the year, but it is now coming out earlier in an effort to better inform the new board of county commissioners. The supplemental budget covers such things as unappropriated cash carryovers and various state and federal funds coming to the county. The weather for the Portland metropolitan area, cloudy with periods of rain today and Wednesday. High temperatures both days, 45 to 50, low tonight near 40. Winds to the west, 5 to 15 miles per hour today. Chance of measurable rain near 90% today and tonight. That's KOIN News at 1209. This is Alan Archer.